Welcome to the Secrets of High Demand Coaches podcast, where I interview some of the best coaches in the business to find their secrets and share them with the world. I'm Scott Rittheimer, founder and CEO of Scale Architects, and we help founders and leaders find the right coach at the right time so they can achieve the predictable success they deserve. And a huge part of that is helping great coaches do great work that creates enormous demand for their services with way less effort. If you're a high demand coach, I'd absolutely love to share your story and expertise as well. So stick around to the end of the show and we'll reveal how you can be our next guest in 15 to 20 minutes. Let's go. Hello, hello, and welcome. Welcome once again to the Secrets of the High Demand Coach podcast. And I am here with yet another high demand coach. It is the one, the only, Ira Lepinen. And she is a partner at Emergy. Now, Emergy is the forerunner in developing and training emotional agency at work. She's a highly skilled organizational developer with a solid experience in carrying out successful change management programs. Now, Ira believes that success lies in understanding the key drivers of the people behind their professional roles. She utilizes her extensive background in leadership, management consulting, and leading change when helping her clients to develop their emotional skills and create a striving workplace emotional, workplace emotional climate. Well, Ira, so excited to have you here. I can't wait to dive into this. I must admit out of the gate here, I'm probably not one of the most in touch people with their emotions. And I think I've got a thing or two to learn here this morning. So, but before we get into all of that though, I'd love to just hear a little bit of your story. How did, you know, this background that you have, how did that lead you into the space you're in right now? And how did you ultimately make the leap?
Thank you, Scott. So great to be here. Listening to you, I'm a living example that one can learn these skills. Because in all honesty, when I graduated with a degree in finance in 2005, entering the work life in the big four companies, being this management consultant and doing all the project work, my first idea when entering the work life was that we should do everything in our power to keep emotions and personality out of the way. So I thought that as long as we have clear target, everyone's do their job and you know, we have strategy and a shared vision and we follow the plan, that's it. But I soon realized, because I was in charge of leading those change management projects, I soon realized that there is a power far more impactful than what's written in the PowerPoint slides or business processes or Excel spreadsheets, and that's actually emotions. So being able to lead change requires understanding of the humankind. And that's that was like a, I don't know, a 360 degree change for me, because I realized that I have to understand what it means to be a human being amidst all this change. And that's how my story began, trying to understand what are the drivers, what are the showstoppers, what are the fears and doubts that actually, when unaddressed, are the biggest showstoppers for any progress to take place. So I spent roughly 10 years in the management consultancy. I was very good at it, and I seriously never thought of leaving. But then an opportunity came in, and one of the largest financial institutions wanted to hire me to lead their business development function. And I love development. I love business development. I love making things better. And so I took the job, and that's how, well, I was in charge. I was leading people of roughly 10 in the beginning, and then it expanded, and I was also in charge of multicultural projects with 5-6 different cultural backgrounds. And I also learned through that the only way to lead a multi-diversity team is to understand the human factors. And I realized that there is actually a unified piece there. Although we talk today about diversity a lot and all the many leaders are struggling. They're talking, well, you know, we have to have the diversity, but how on earth do I lead that with all the different needs and hopes and wishes? But there are some fundamental elements that are universal for the human beings. And by understanding those, you actually can have a toolkit for leading the change, leading in turbulent times, leading in diversity. And so during that time, I actually came across Emergy. I attended their leadership training and it actually hit me so hard because I realized that I had utilized a tiny part of that whole spectrum intuitively in my leadership and see the impact it can have on people, you know, finding their full potential and helping them grow and thrive. And so at the end of that training, I actually called my current partner at Emergy and said, you know what, I'm going to join you. I want to do this because I felt the passion for making work life better. I had seen what it can be, how hard it can be, and also seen that it doesn't have to be so hard. And then in the training, I saw what was fundamental for me was the academic background. Because let's face it, when we talk about emotions at work, some people are still like, yeah, right. Well, we have the KPIs, processes, strategy, da-da-da-da. That's what matters. But actually, if you want to build a high-performing team or a high-performing organization by developing only those hard facts, you can only end up with a mediocre performance. But by understanding how people feel about the strategy, how do they feel about the targets, how do they feel about the projects, what's inspiring, what's causing them to doubt, and understanding those, that's how we can leverage on all that. So what I'm saying here is that we don't have to have, I'm not talking about we should skip all strategy and processes and KPIs. No, those are needed. But if you want to leverage on those, you need people on board. Yeah. So, and all that being backed by science, proven that it works, not just a, you know, someone's nice, fuzzy idea, but it actually had been proven already in work life. So I actually quit my job and joined Emergy as an entrepreneur 6 years ago. And of course, I was afraid. Of course, I had doubts. But something in me wanted, I felt that this is what I need to do. This is what I want to do. I want to make work life better for people and businesses. So it's not just about well-being. It's also about productivity, profitability, and all that. And here I am, 6 years later, I wouldn't change a day. I mean, I've worked with hundreds of companies, thousands of leaders, and I've seen it, see the daylight, see the change. So yeah, I'm super proud of myself, of, you know, taking the risk and taking the leap and trusting it to be okay.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So I'm wondering if you could just, you've kind of alluded to this a little bit, but just kind of dive in for us a little deeper. What is emotional agency? What do you mean by that? And how do we start to embrace and leverage it in the workplace?
Yeah. I love talking about this topic because it's fairly new in the work-life context. Emotional agency has been researched, but emotional agency at work is something that's completely new. And this is a result of the cooperation that we have done together with top universities, our experts, the trainers, and also client organizations. The art of emotional agency is that most people know emotional intelligence. It has been studied and utilized for decades. But the limitation of emotional intelligence is that it relies on the capability, awareness, and capability of individuals. But when we talk about organizational context and the world we live in today, we can't only rely on individuals. We need some like more robust, systematic ways of impacting and making the change happen in the organization. So emotional agency combines both the individual capabilities of emotional intelligence but it adds on to the organizational supporting practices that make it a systematic way, systematic habit of introducing all that into whatever is taking place in the organization anyhow. What I mean by this is it's included in the recruiting process. It's included in the employer branding. It's included in the project procedures. It's included in the development discussions, town halls, whatever that there is anyhow taking place. So it's a collective, at the heart of emotional agency lies the fact that everyone can learn. So, and everyone is responsible, irrespective of their role, on how do I impact other people around me? And we have now developed several training concepts around that. How do we bring those to organizations with an impactful way? How do we incorporate that without interfering with the business continuity, etc.? So emotional agency is the awareness, understanding, and also taking active role on impacting and taking it into account in every single encounter that we have in work life, whether it's leading myself or leading others or working with clients or stakeholders or whoever.
And what's at stake? What if we stay on autopilot? If we don't address some of these things, what happens? What happens when this goes poorly?
I'm pretty sure you have also witnessed some cases where people are operating on autopilot. That means we are unaware of the impact we have on ourselves or others. It's a research fact that our external self-awareness is our blind spot. If you're operating from autopilot, you're stuck with something that might, you're stuck with limited resources, let's put it that way. Operating on an autopilot means that you're not present, you're not paying attention, because in the heart of being emotionally intelligent, it starts with yourself. What happens here between us in this situation, in a way, being able to read the room and with that information to adopt my behavior in the best possible way to make this outcome as good as possible. That's in a nutshell. So it starts with the individual responsibility to act in a conscious manner. Operating on autopilot, probably you can't, well, several examples. If you think of the Teams work or Zoom work that we use so much today, you miss out on so many pieces of information that would then help you to be a better coach, better leader, to have a better outcome for whatever is taking place.
Yeah, I was just going to ask that because so many of our interactions are just like this. We're not in person. We're not together. How do we achieve emotional agency? How do we push that forward, especially in a remote environment?
A very good one. One thing is to realize that we at least have the cameras on, because with the black screen, the top one. Again, it starts with ourselves. Let's take, for example, that we're in a Teams meeting and we're looking for a lively discussion on our next quarterly targets or whatever, and we enter the Teams or Zoom and we find this awkward silence. We're like, we're trying to get going, but people are not on board. So I have two options. I can ignore the emotional factor in that, which tells me that something is odd. Why are these people silent? Because typically they are very active and participating and da da da. I can stick to the agenda, tick the box, meeting done, move on. Or I can address the fact that there's something in here that's stopping us from being the best versions of ourselves or having a lively conversation, and actually just speaking that out loud in honesty and with good intentions. For example, saying, guys, I have to confess that I'm a bit confused. I was expecting some very lively conversations. I was very much looking forward to hearing your thoughts on this. But all I can hear is the awkward silence. What's going on? And then trust in the silence. So in a way, I'm taking a responsible role, speaking on behalf of probably many. And the probable outcome is after some silence, if someone says, oh, finally someone has said this out loud. And then typically some very natural reasons start to come up. Like, you know what? I really wanted to prepare for this meeting, but in all honesty, I've been piled up with work, didn't have any time. So that's why I'm silent. Other one is saying, you know what? I had a grumpy baby last night, didn't get any sleep. I just, my focus is lost, or whatever it is. But we talk so much about, for example, psychological safety. That's one of the concrete, tangible ways of actually building a psychologically safety work environment. Yeah. To engage and encourage that kind of dialogue. Because let's face it, sometimes that happens, right? I don't know if that answered your question.
Yeah, no, it's right on. Why is it, do you think, we're so, as managers and leaders, it's so hard to ask that question?
One of the most common reasons I come across is that we're not used to it. In work life, we are so facts and process and PowerPoint and Excel spreadsheet orientated that we're not used to talking about stuff like that. And that's one of the concrete examples of when people ask me, so what does it mean if we start talking about emotions at work? It's like opening a Pandora's box. No, it's just acknowledging, like in that scenario, naturally, the emotional climate was actually something that was very relevant for the outcome of that meeting. It's the same applies with clients, for example. So do we skip that or do we acknowledge that? And that's it. It doesn't mean that all we do is talk about emotions. No.
Yeah. It's funny because there's this expectation that if we open Pandora's box, it's going to go crazy all of a sudden. Yeah. But it's like, we're not dealing with crazy people. Exactly. You know, it's like they're just like us. And there's a courage that's necessary for that, that I think is just woven into everything that you've been doing and teaching. So, all right, I have a question for you. I like to ask of all my guests, and it's this. What's the biggest secret that you just wish wasn't a secret at all? What's that one thing that you wish every leader and manager listening today knew?
It's a tough one, but going back to your previous question, what if you try to be more of your true self at work in a responsible and constructive way? What would happen? Because in the heart of that lies freedom and also to leverage on the leadership, because all people want is relatedness. Leaders don't need to be Teflon, and please don't be Teflon, because that's not the way to build trust or the people can't relate to you. So what I hope everyone to know and to try out, to be more of your authentic self in a responsible way at work, even in tough situations, share that this is a tough situation for you. It doesn't mean that people can't trust you, but actually it might awaken curiosity towards hearing, so what are your thoughts on this? That's how you build trust.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that second piece, because you know, lots of folks will say, be yourself, right? Yeah. And that can come with the connotation of like fly your freak flag, you know, which is appropriate at times. But like, I think there's a responsibility to steward that well, right? And I love that you bring that aspect of it. I think that's a really important balancing factor to how do we do that constructively? How do we bring the best of ourself and all of ourselves at the same time? I love that. So there's some folks listening and this has just been the missing piece, right? Maybe they've known it all along. They just now finally getting the courage to do it, or maybe this is something that it's hitting them for the very first time. How can they find more out about you and your work?
emergywork.com, the webpage, but also Emergy is on LinkedIn, and also myself. We're trying to share bits and pieces to make the life of leaders easier, more, you know, more enjoyable. So yeah, LinkedIn and the webpage.
That's great. We'll put those in the show notes, and it's Emergy, E-M-E-R-G-Y, work.com. Feel free to check it out. Well, Ira, thanks so much for being on the show. What an honor and privilege to have you here. It was a fascinating conversation. I very much appreciate it. And for those of you watching and listening today, you know that your time and attention mean the world to us. I hope you got as much out of this conversation as I know I did, and I cannot wait to see you next time. Take care. Scott Ritzheimer here. Thank you so much for listening to the Secrets of High Demand Coaches podcast. If you are a successful coach, consultant, or advisor who's built a strong book of business and would like to be on the program, please visit go.scalearchitects.com. And if you got something out of this interview, would you share this episode on social media and just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials? If you know someone who'd be a great guest, you can tag them on social media to let them know about the show. And make sure you include the hashtag #HighDemandCoaching. I love seeing your posts. I love seeing your guest suggestions. Thank you so much. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any of those episodes, go ahead and subscribe now. Your thumbs up, your ratings, your reviews, they go a long way to help us promote the show, and they mean a lot to me and my team. If you want to know more, you can go to our website, www.scalearchitects.com, or you can follow me or the company on LinkedIn, Facebook, or Instagram. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.